2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 575-000. We are on location today. We are at Rock Tops Services in Springville. It's the grand opening. Hope you'll come out and see us this morning. Our next listener, Ton, says, now what is that potting soil that you recommended? And I'm pretty sure this they were talking about last week. We were talking about potting soil.
Yeah, anything made by SunGrow Horticulture, they have a plant over in, Manti Ephraim area.
Mm-hmm.
Then that one, I really like their products. And
yeah, explain why. You were talking about why you
well,
like
Well, I used to,
just the
part
quality.
Of, when I worked up at J&J Nursery, part of my responsibilities sometimes included getting all the broken bags of potting soil. And that we would carry three or four different companies' products, and as you would dump them, and so what we'd do is dump them into our big potting soil pile, and it would be incorporated into the company mix that we use to pot trees and shrubs. Well, when I opened the SunGrow Horticulture bags, they were always consistently mixed. They were consistent in their moisture levels, and they had very few sticks or rocks in them. And SunGrow makes a lot of commercial potting soils that are used almost ubiquitously by garden centers. And you can buy those under the Sunshine brand. They do private label. I think IFA private label is a lot of Sunshine products too. You know, Miracle-Gro usually does a pretty good job. And then, you know, as long as it's coming from a major brand and you've experienced with it in the past, you're generally okay on that particular potting soil. Where you run into problems is with the dirt, no pun intended, but the dirt cheap stuff. Because you'll go into a box store or a garden center, and they might have on the low end something like Hypanex, and then on the upper end something from Sunshine. And you're going to get what you pay for with them. And a lower grade product will have a lot of peat moss in it, but not a lot of other things that will create good drainage. And so this is one that you don't need to be buying potting soils with a lot of exotic products in there. You know, if it's advertising, you know, organic worm castings and Madagascar elephant dung compost and all this sort of stuff, you don't need that. But what you are looking for is something with a good reputation. And, you know, on a 1 cubic foot bag, the prices will range anywhere from $5.99 to $10.99. And I'm going to veer toward something on the higher end of the price range just so that I can try to get a good quality product.
So we all get the products with too many sticks or rocks. We get that. But what do you mean when you say consistently mixed? I mean, what is in there?
Well, peat moss and oftentimes perlite or vermiculite, then if it's depending on the mix, it may have some sand.
Mm-hmm.
There are oftentimes surfactants that help the water penetrate through more quickly. Then a lot of the products, especially the consumer grade stuff from like Miracle-Gro, will have fertilizer in it already, so that you have a month or 2 or 3 months worth of fertilizer. And a lot of times homeowners really like that, because then you don't need to buy an extra container of fertilizer.
But that is what you're paying a little bit more.
Yes.
For.
And so the lower end potting soils oftentimes don't have surfactants in them to help the water penetrate through. They don't have as much vermiculite or perlite in them. And I just find in general that they hold more water that's not a good thing. that doesn't drain out. And when you first start using them, if they are dry, it takes a lot more to get them wet because of the lack of surfactants.
Right. It's such a beautiful day. I wish we could plant more trees to clear out the air. I wish that would do the trick because, boy, we are really stuck in the smog today. But it is a beautiful day, and temperatures aren't going to be too warm, but people could go out in their yards for a little bit today and do a little extra cleanup. Talk about when it's important to get up some of those leaves that are left behind. When are the winter leaves a problem?
They're a problem this time of year if they're on your lawn. Now, if there's one here or there, that's fine. You know, but when you get enough leaves that you cannot see the grass, mm-hmm. when we get snowstorms, those mat down and create a layer that is really hard for oxygen to penetrate through, and you can actually start the grass to rotting underneath the soil because of the lack of oxygen going through those leaves. And so while we have been dry for the last 7 or 10 days and the snow's melted off, if you have leaves on your lawn, those can be cleaned up.
Yeah, this is the time, a day like today is day when I have to go clean up after the pet. But, you know, those doggies, they do make messes, and that's not good sitting on your lawn all winter either.
No, it's not. Everywhere that they've used the bathroom, it creates a dead spot that takes 6 or 8 weeks to start to fill back in. And so we like to, if you have pets, recommend doing a gravel area of the yard that they're trained to use the restroom. But if not, then especially when they urinate, go out with a bucket of water or a hose, and just where they've gone to the bathroom, put 3 or 4 gallons of water down in that area to dilute it out, and that will prevent the yellow spots and the brown spots in the lawn.
Right. Help save that poor grass.
Yes, from the animals going to the bathroom.
Right. This is also a good time, too, if you want to start doing cold season crops, to maybe shop for some cold frames.
Yes, it really is. And you can purchase a mini prefabricated either cold frames or low tunnels with hoops or sidewalls, or there's a lot of pop-up, like the little miniature tents, that will have a clear plastic top to them. And you can actually put those out a week to 10 days ahead of when you're going to plant, because you want the soil to warm up underneath them. And so the minimum soil temperature for cool season crops is 45 or 50 degrees, and the soil's not there. And there are some cold frames and low tunnels that are insulated enough that you can start outdoor plants up to 2 to 3 weeks sooner than you normally would. And in those particular instances, it's good to get those cold frames or a little pop-up tents or whatever you're using up several days ahead of time so that the soil is warm enough to plant in when you're ready.
Yeah, the only experience I have with those kind of early plantings is like putting in tomatoes too early and then using, what do they call them?
The walls of water,
which have been, you know, if you can get your plants in a little bit earlier and you can protect them from frost, they do so much better because those roots are able to, you know, take hold and really create a healthier plant.
They really will. The plants will do okay without them, but if you're trying to get the earlier tomatoes, those walls of water can be critical, because not only do you want the plants growing sooner, but you actually want them to set the blossoms and get those blossoms pollinated before we get too hot. And now if we do get above 100 consistently, even fruit already on the tomatoes oftentimes won't grow very quickly. You know, that 90 to 95 is about the threshold that they start to get unhappy, and then around 55 at night are ideal. Now, one thing I do like to do if I'm going to be putting in early tomatoes are find varieties that are bred for cooler season. So you can find those in a lot of different gardening catalogs. And if you use the cool season tomatoes, especially with the wall of water, it's not unheard of to have tomatoes by June, sometime mm-hmm. in early to mid-June, late June, at that outside point.
Do you have a cool season favorite?
Oh, Moscow and 4th of July are two that I like. It's not that their flavor is great, but they are early. And so I've actually, several times when I was doing more of this style of gardening, I had tomatoes before the 4th of July. They were golf ball size to racquetball size, mm-hmm, so it was a little mm-hmm. smaller. But we made salsa with them. We cut them up and...
Good for salads.
Good for salads. My wife would slice them and put a little bit of salt and pepper on them and eat them that way. And so the best tomatoes are always those late summer, early fall tomatoes. But the early tomatoes can still beat a store tomato any time.
I'm just so spoiled. I have a hard time buying store-bought tomatoes. They just have a waxy coating and they just do not taste the same.
They are bred for...
They have to last longer, sure.
We bought some Romas 3 weeks ago that are still perfectly fine on my countertop. And they're, of course, they're a commercial shipping variety, and they do have the thicker skins. I made some salsa out of some of them, and chewing through the skin was a little bit difficult because it was so thick. We do have a local company down in Mona that grows tomatoes. They have over 20 acres of tomatoes under glass, and they're building more greenhouses now. And so just to promote a local company, if I am in Harmon's or Smith's or Walmart and they have Howling's tomatoes, those are ripened on the vine at the greenhouse to just the point that they're turning orange on the vine and on the plant. And they're usually in the stores within a day.
All right. I need to know. How do you spell that?
Had to ask me. It's a Dutch company, and it's Howlings, but it's like H-E-O-L-I-N-G.
Okay. But I'll look for that, because otherwise I won't buy
You'll see details. Howlings on the label.
Perfect. All right. I'm going to do that. Let's take a break. We are coming to you live from Rock Top Services. We have with us Dave Jones. We're at the Springville location, and it's fun to be here with you today, Dave, and to see your wonderful products. And so tell me, first of all, what do most people come in and say to you? I mean, are they, because for me, sometimes I get overwhelmed. I come into a store and I just don't know exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for ideas, and I'm sure that you get that all the time.
We do. And that's kind of the fun part for us, because if people are, if they have an idea like, hey, that's one of our first questions. What's your project? What are you looking to do? What's your time frame? And how do you want to go about it? Then from there, they give us an idea of what they're looking for, and then we can kind of say, okay, here's some different options that might work for you. Take a look. We're very low key here. We just want to, if they want to just walk around and not talk to us, that's great, and then we'll come and help them when needed.
Well, all of us are dreaming.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see what's new.
Right.
That for a project.
Right. And sometimes it's important to know what your budget is. You might think, oh, I wonder if I could do this for, $3,000, and it's like, no, you're going to be, higher. Sometimes we may need to wait a while to do it, but at least you can get the ideas of what you want and the styles that are there and the colors and all the different things that go with that project. And we come out and measure. We'll go into your home. Just about everybody that works for us has some type of interior design, either not maybe a background, but they're so experienced that they have a really good idea of what will work in your home.
Describe the products you have for folks in the selection.
Okay, so what we have in our stores, so a little bit different. So in the Spanish Fork location, which is on Main Street, let me plug that down there, and we're on the Springville location on 400 South. So we have both. We have countertops and flooring. The flooring ranges from hardwood to carpet to laminate to waterproof flooring, tile, and then we stock a lot of countertops. At our other location is in Sandy on State Street, and there's one in Park City. They're countertops only, so they're a little bit smaller store, but they're beautiful, and that's their main focus. So if people are up in those areas, they don't need to come all the way down to Springville or Spanish Fork. Just go to those areas, and they'll be impressed with what they see.
How does your price compare with other folks?
That's a good question. So we are really really competitive, and you asked our last visit, our pricing, and on our website at rocktopsurfaces.com, we have specials that are going. So we do have quartz and granite that start at like $45 a square foot, and then they go up, from there. And so it's important for us to be competitive and to be with everybody else. We like to say that we have 110 price or 110% price guarantee. So if they see something somewhere else and it's the exact same product, then we'll beat that.
All right. I want you to come in and see us today. Come in and enter the drawing to win a $2,500 gift card. We are at Rock Top Surfaces. We are at the Springville location on 400 South. And we're going to take a break. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us 575-
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, broadcasting live today from Rock Tops Surfaces in Springville. I hope you will come out and see us and enter to win a $2,500 gift card from Rock Tops. So come join us. Ton, we kind of got started on tomatoes, and everyone loves to talk about tomatoes. I mean, most people in their gardens, their vegetable gardens, will at least plant tomatoes.
They do. When I first started the show, I think Tim Hughes had never really grown tomatoes in his yard, and I brought some that were grown at the Cache County Jail that were one that, I think Sun Sugar was the variety.
I love Sun Sugar.
And he planted it in his backyard, and his dog that they called the Puppy Prince would go out and eat those tomatoes, and the dog loved them so much that it would go to the bathroom all over the house.
Oh, no.
And so they had
to
actually put a fence around the tomato plant to keep the dog away from
eating
it.
Well, they're so good because you can just pop them in your mouth.
For the cherry tomatoes, the Sun Sugar is wildly popular. It's a yellow tomato, and I've grown several cherry tomato varieties, and Sun Sugar is super productive compared to a lot of others.
It's one that I plant every year. I really love Sun Sugar.
Yeah.
But it's so hard. How do you tell people which tomato's best? Because really, it's so subjective, and there are hundreds of varieties.
It is. And so everyone has their favorites. You know, Bad Bart called in earlier today. Dave is talking about Celebrity, you know, and Celebrity being the all-around tomato. You can use it for sandwiches. You can use it for salsa. You can use
it
for tomato sauce, and it's just one.
It's another one that I plant every year.
Yeah, it does really well. It's, and I won't call it a drawback, but its weakness is that it cracks a lot. And so, you know, there's lots of different tomatoes out there. You know, when I look for a recommendation that I give to somebody, I will try to give them the flavor profile and not what I personally like. Because my dad's favorite tomato is one that is a super acidic tomato that's not very sweet, and I can barely stomach it. You know, my favorite is Sun Sugar, and my dad's just like, man, it's just like you dumped a bowl of sugar over the top of these things. And so,
you know, what's wrong with that?
You know, there's not really any problem, but I always try to, if I can locate, tell people if they're less acidic or more acidic, when they ripen, how they perform, and then let them grow and taste them on their own, because I don't make recommendations on what I think tastes good.
Right. And I like to try at least one new one every year. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll take a break for the top of the hour news and be back with more on the KSL Greenhouse. 7500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.